This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Good morning, Christ Church. This is going out to Christ Church Overland Park and Christ Church Mission, Dean Behrens, and I'm here with Patrick and Amanda sitting here at Christ Church Overland Park, and we're really glad to see you all. Going out to all of you that are holed up around Kansas City. We hope you're doing well. You know, it's almost starting like to sound like one of Paul's letters, the intro to Paul's letters, like, I, Dean, a servant of Christ Jesus, coronavirus free at this point, to all those scattered around Kansas City, grace and peace and sanitization to you, you know, like that could work, right? I think.
Sure.
Okay. We miss you guys. We want to start there. We're bummed that we cannot be with you guys in person this morning. You might be thinking, you know, like, no, but aren't you guys kind of glad that you have the day off, Sunday off? The answer is no. Although I do not miss climbing up on the ladder and putting the letters up on the marquee, which I would be doing this morning. But I'm glad to miss that part. But no, we're not glad to have a Sunday off. We miss you guys and wish that we were together in person this morning. We undoubtedly made the right call in suspending services, but we miss you guys. And Jenny reminded me this week of Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together. In the very first chapter, he talks about the value of being together as God's people, and how it's a real gift and a grace, he says, from God. You know, something that we take for granted every single week, probably. Many of us take for granted the opportunity that we have to come together and worship him and read scripture together and celebrate communion together. And many people live that reality all the time. People in prison and people who are like missionaries in places where there aren't a lot of Christians and people who are sick and kind of isolated and lonely. You know, many people have to live that reality, but those of us that don't, we take it for granted, I think, what a blessing and grace it is to come together. Bonhoeffer even says that his quote is, "The physical presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength." Mm. And I resonate with that. I feel that. I love being together with you all when we are together and worshiping and shaking your hands and just seeing you all and being with you all. And I just think one of the byproducts of this being away from one another today is that it will help us to crave being back together, because we will be back together again soon, and what a celebration it will be. And I am committing to myself, at least, to not take it for granted again. And of course, one day we will live together with God, and all the loneliness and the disconnectedness will be satisfied when we are with him in his kingdom. So for now, let's thank God that he has made us to be a people that are in community. Mm-hmm. And let's pray for an end of this, you know, pandemic for lots of reasons, but one of them is because it's keeping us from being with one another and worshiping and praying and receiving communion together. So I'm ready for that day to come. Okay. So although we couldn't
Amen.
Be, thank you.
I just
you.
Want to respond.
So although we couldn't be together in person today, we did want to come to you digitally and offer you kind of a version, you know, of a Sunday service. We're not going to, today at least, not stand up and preach to an empty nave, you know, but we wanted to offer you something this morning. And so we're going to read and reflect on scripture together, and we're going to do confession and prayers. And I'm hoping that it's a real blessing to you. We may experiment with other stuff moving forward, but today this felt like appropriate, you know, for us to come to you in this way. So we'll talk more about the ways that we're going to communicate with y'all moving forward. But let's start with the way that we start every Lent Sunday service, and that's with the time of confession. And so we thought it'd be good to start there. So Amanda?
Yeah, absolutely. I keep looking around at the pews as if you all are here. So just imagining you sitting out there, because you are. You're out there at home and wherever else. But I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And I love that, and I think that's a great way to go into our time of confession. So let's keep that in mind. And I just invite you to ask the Lord to bring those things to mind that you need to confess to him. So let's pray. Jesus, we ask that you would forgive our sins. Forgive the things that we remember right now in this moment, and also the sins that we've forgotten. Forgive those wrong actions we've committed and the right actions we have failed to act on. And Lord, forgive the times that we've given into temptation. And there are many of those times. And those times that we've been stubborn in the face of correction and good guidance. Forgive the times that we've been proud of our own achievements at the expense of boasting in your works, Lord. Forgive the harsh judgments and even those that don't seem so harsh of others and the leniency that we show ourselves. Forgive the lies that we've told to others and ourselves and the truths that we've avoided. Forgive us the pain that we've caused others and the indulgence that we've shown to ourselves. Jesus, have pity on us. Make us whole. Amen.
Amen.
So now 1 John teaches us that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness when we confess our sins. And we've confessed our sins. And God has forgiven us because Christ has died for us. Amen.
Amen.
And so we aren't together extending peace to one another, but, you know, we're at peace with God now. And so I just encourage you throughout your day, as you interact with your families, as you go into stores, where I've noticed people are really anxious right now. There is a tenseness at Target and in the gas stations and wherever we happen to go. And so I just encourage you to be at peace with others, extend peace to others today. And so with that in mind, I'm going to read from John chapter 16, and this reading was chosen by Dean and Patrick because we really believe it's a word of comfort in this particular season of our lives. So this is from John chapter 16, beginning at the 25th verse. Jesus said, "Though I have been speaking figuratively, the hour is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact, has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be with you in this way. And as Dean said, this is kind of weird for us. This is not something we've ever done before. So have mercy on us as you watch this.
Amen. Pity.
But we're just experimenting. Like I said, this is new territory for us. And honestly, it just didn't feel very authentic to me to pretend that that it's business as usual and we're just putting on a service, even though there's no one here. So we felt like at least for now we would try to just do something that was a little bit more conversational and relational. Mm-hmm. It seemed more appropriate and authentic for the moment that we're in. But I want us to reflect a little bit about this passage in John chapter 16. And just to give you a little bit of context, this is what's called the Upper Room Discourse, chapters 13 through 16. basically Jesus is teaching the disciples. And so this is all happening, the context here, Jesus is sharing the last Passover meal with his disciples before his crucifixion. And so it's kind of his final instructions. And so in John 13 through 16, he's giving them those final instructions, his teaching. He washes their feet. He tells them that one of them is going to betray him. And then he goes into his teaching, which is, for the most part, about the Holy Spirit. And then he concludes it all in chapter 17 with his final prayer. But these last words of chapter 16 are essentially the last words of his last words to his disciples. And, you know, you can imagine they're in this room together and Jesus is preparing them for the fact that he's going away. He's going to be put to death. And you can only imagine that the air is thick. There's a real tension in the room. And I think that there's something about these words that are poignantly true for us today. You know, they're each going to be scattered to their own home. And there's this sense of trouble that is on the horizon for Jesus. And so I want us to work through this passage and kind of the current situation that we're going through. And I want us to ask three questions. What is the trouble? What should we do? And what is the good news? So what is the trouble? What should we do? And what is the good news? So let's start with what is the trouble? You know, we're in a season around the world where there really are valid fears. We don't simply want to say, oh, don't worry, it's all going to be okay. You know, I pray that it will be, and, you know, but the truth is we just don't have a promise of an easy, pain-free life. That's just not, Jesus never promises that. In fact, he tells us we will have trouble. Now, in the long run, it will be okay. It will all be okay, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But in the short run, we do face trouble. And I think it's important to really name the trouble for what it is, because if we don't name the trouble and really focus on what is actually the trouble, then it can actually grow to become something even bigger than it actually is. And I think we do see some of that happening in what's going on currently. But
It starts to feel like everything is a trouble.
Right.
Rather than the
specific
things.
We better go buy more toilet paper or whatever it is, because all of a sudden it just takes on a life of its own. So let's name the trouble. And the trouble, obviously, is this coronavirus, this pandemic that is spreading around the world. It's important to know that this is not the first time this has ever happened. I mean, this happens on a fairly regular basis. These kinds of things happen. And if we just wanted to, you know, I don't want to recount all the different times, but, you know, this is not something new. This is something that happens. These viruses mutate and they spread. So there is the physical danger associated with the coronavirus, and especially to those who are most vulnerable to serious complications as a result. There's also, you know, real trouble in the sense of the economic impact of all of this. And I think there's also a real trouble. You know, I was talking to an infectious disease doctor yesterday, and the comment was made, you know, there is the trouble of this virus and the pandemic that's spreading, but there's also the trouble of isolation. So the fact that we're trying to combat it through isolation, which is the appropriate thing to do, is also a trouble in and of itself. We're not made for isolation.
I think people are terrified of being isolated.
Yeah.
Especially for extended periods of time. I mean, I don't want to be isolated. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like Sunday is one thing, but how long could that possibly last?
So, right.
Yeah, man, I got three little kids at home.
Oh,
I
my
am
gosh.
Terrified about isolation. Okay. I need to get out. Let me out of here.
Yeah. Well, like I shared in the video that went out Friday, you know, my nest was peaceful and empty, and now it's not empty anymore. My kids are back from school, and they're not going back. They're staying all through the summer. They're not going back until the fall. So, there are real difficulties, and Jesus himself faced all kinds of pain and difficulty. We know this. He faced temptation and persecution, suffering, and ultimately death on a cross. So we have a Savior who has been through trouble, has suffered, and that helps us, I think, in our times of trouble to draw near to God. You know, he walked a very difficult road, and so Jesus, he understands what we go through when we go through times of suffering. And so I think it's important to understand that helps us to have confidence that we can draw near to him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to be sure, this week has been surreal. It just hasn't even, and there have been aspects of it, it's like, what? Mm-hmm. Is this really happening? I mean, no NCAA tournament? Are you
South
kidding
by
me?
Southwest?
I mean, it's just the speed at which it's all mm-hmm. happened. There's been a sense of like, the sky is falling. Well, the sky really did fall on Jesus. He really did go to the cross and suffer in a way that we can't even imagine. And so we do have a Savior who can sympathize with what we're going through. And so I think that's very important to know as we name the trouble that we're facing.
Yeah, I think that's really good, Patrick. I think, like, I guess for me, I am the type of person that's just a little bit more carefree, you know, like about, I don't feel as anxious about this stuff, but it's true that I know so many people are really, really scared, you know, and they have good reason to be in many cases, but, so it's good to just name that trouble, putting our finger on it and then remembering that Jesus also, you know, faced real trouble is a really helpful idea.
You know, it's probably also important to just remember that, yes, there are those who are among the most vulnerable to this virus, but it's also important to remember that the not to overstate the trouble. The vast, vast majority of people who get this, and ultimately many of us probably will, are going to have either no symptoms or very minor symptoms, you know, so it's also important not to let it get bigger.
Yeah.
But we are concerned about the most vulnerable among us, and we want to do everything that we can to protect them. And that's a very good, I think, Christian instinct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think just one other thing to add is I've noticed, I mentioned this earlier, the anxiety and people who already struggle with anxiety are particularly anxious. I mean, and then just the average person, there's definitely a sense of heightened anxiety out there. And so that's trouble. Yeah. And so just sort of, again, being, what does it look like to be a person of peace? And we'll get to that later, but that's troubling to see people sort of on edge and saltier than normal.
That's right. Yeah, and again, like naming the trouble helps us not to go too far on either extreme, to feel like everything is a trouble, or, you know, maybe some of you are more like me and are, you know, I want to say like, there's no trouble, but that's not helpful either, you know, and it's certainly not helpful to your brothers and sisters who really are fearful. And so, so let's name it. Yeah.
And some practically speaking.
Yeah.
You know,
So, what is the trouble? We've talked about that. So now let's talk about what should we do? What should we do? You know, when we face difficult times, I'm always drawn to Paul's words in Romans chapter 8. Many scholars consider Romans 8 to be the high point of all of Scripture. There really are three sections to that chapter, chapter 8. And the second section begins with these words in verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So Paul is acknowledging that our lives will be full of suffering, but he wants us to take a higher, a longer-term view. And he goes on to say that we suffer, but in the midst of that suffering, we have hope, and that the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. And then he goes on to say something very, very important in verse 28. He says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So this is due to the fact that God's ultimate purpose, his ultimate goal for his people, you and I, is to conform us into the image of Christ. So he's working everything that we experience in life, he's using it to conform us into the image of Christ. He's making us like Jesus. And that means no experience is wasted. Everything is not good. Yeah. But God uses everything for our good. And so when we face troubles, I think it's always appropriate to look for the good that God is doing. And so that's what I would say is the answer to our question. What should we do? We should look for the good that God is doing in the midst of all this. And we should ask ourselves, how can we participate in the good thing that God is doing here? And so I want to suggest there are three things that we're going to talk about. What might be some good things that God is doing? One, I want to say God is giving us an opportunity to slow down. And so, Dean, what do you think about that?
Yeah. First, let me say, I just think that's really wise, that whole idea that God wants to use this time. He wants to redeem this time for us, you know? I do think this season, seasons even marked specifically by trouble, are seasons that are ripe for growth for us. And so we can squander those seasons, you know, which is easy to do, you know? You kind of just double down on your bad habits and the cultural noise, or you can kind of try to leverage that season for good. And I think this is one of those seasons that we can actually kind of press in and use for good. So I don't know about you guys, but my schedule just got a lot more open. You know, everything has kind of opened up for me. And so I do want to take this opportunity, I think, to slow down. I want to encourage that for all of you too. We might not see another time soon where our entire culture slows down in the same way that it has right now.
We've never seen it before.
I don't know if and when we'll ever see it again. And so that is a unique opportunity that we have in front of us to slow down. And so I'd just encourage, like, first of all, just cultivate healthy spiritual practices during this time. As things are slowing down, just like use that as an opportunity to read your Bible more. You know, we've been talking about the Bible in 1 year for a long time. If you've been resisting the downloading that app, then now is the time. You know, get on, read the Bible. Presumably you have a little more time maybe in your schedule today and in the days to come. Do that. That's one place to start. Read the Bible. You can even maybe set a goal to read an entire book of the Bible this week or something. Press into prayer, like combat the anxious feelings that you have with like scripture, like words of life, the truth of the gospel, and with slow prayer, you know? Embrace the slowness. Turn the TV off. Like, set your phone down. Live into the slowness. You know, I was thinking,
I don't need to keep track of each person who gets the coronavirus.
No,
like one by one.
Definitely
by one.
Not. Definitely not. In fact, you know, especially if you have kids, you know, your kids, like in your home, you know, like your kids pick up on the anxiety of having the TV on all
Absolutely.
Day, tapping into
Sure.
the coronavirus news. Just constantly coming at us. And even if not on the TV, if you are the kind of mom or dad that's like checking your phone incessantly trying to track the latest news, resist that temptation. Like, you know, check in a couple times a day with it, but your anxiety that it rubs off from whatever news source you're watching that goes from that to you is also going to go from you to your children. And so just cut some of those ties off and delay them and resist them. And instead, embrace like good, healthy, spiritual practices like prayer and scripture reading. Furthermore, I was talking to, communicating with Micah and Lindsay, our worship leaders, even this morning. They are updating like the Christchurch Spotify playlist with worship songs that we've been doing at Mission and in OP. And so we'll send a link out to you guys somehow, meaning like find a way to worship in your home. Turn on this playlist, turn on whatever worship you like, and fill your home not with the buzz of the 24-hour news cycle, but with like songs of worship, you know? I don't know. What else do you guys have to add about, like, what do you hope people do in the slowness, or what do you hope even to do in the slowness?
I mean, I think about, just to add to what you said about worship, I mean, there's some great Christian podcasts out there.
Great.
Maybe you're a podcast person. I mean, there's the Bible Project. There's something I love is the Mockingcast. Mm-hmm. Just people sort of with commentary on what's going on, but not for the sake of, you know, causing anxiety, but how should we as Christians respond to these things? I think that's a great way to fill your time.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, what you said is great.
Perfect.
I would normally in the morning do my Bible in 1 year, mm-hmm. and then I would do my daily sports addiction update.
Ah, I see. Okay.
And there are no more sports. There's nothing to check. And I realized this morning, like, uh-oh. So I'm going to have to deal with that addiction.
That's
and
right.
And I can just read more scripture.
That's right. Create new habits.
Yeah,
in the place of old ones. Good.
There's just one other thing I'll add to that. Since we are in the season of Lent, I think this is a great opportunity to really embrace Lent. Mm. And one thing I use, it's called Pray As You Go, and it just provides a little scripture reading and exercises, like meditation exercises on the scripture, and that's really helpful. Mm. Not that you have to use that one, but really just capitalize on this time of, you know, we may be in our homes, but it's an opportunity to listen to the Lord. So,
yeah.
So what are the possible good things God is doing? So one might be that our culture is slowing down in a very dramatic way that we've not ever really experienced before. And there might be some real opportunities in that.
Sure.
So, another thing I think is that another good thing that I can see coming out of this is that God is going to provide us with opportunities to extend hospitality to others. And so, Amanda, why don't you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been thinking about the fact that we believe the Lord has called us to be radically hospitable. So welcoming, loving our neighbors. And, you know, another thing is the fact that we suspended services, it's not for self-preservation, but actually as an act of love to our neighbors, so that if anyone here does have COVID-19, we don't, you know, continue the spread of the disease. So that's one way. But also just maybe saying, Lord, what can I do? How can I love my neighbor as myself? And, you know, I completely understand the impulse to hoard toilet paper and food and things like that. But maybe just operating under the assumption that God will take care of us, that when we give, it will be given to us, and that we're actually mandated to love our neighbors. And so that could be as simple as knocking on doors in your neighborhood and just saying, is there anything I can do? Are there errands that you need run for you? Do you need groceries to be picked up? Do you have kids at home that need to be watched? You know, for people who maybe can work from home but don't have a place to put their kids while they're working, that kind of thing. And I think about, like, my mother, for instance. I mean, she has people living with her. My brother lives with her and my sister-in-law. But if she didn't, would there be neighbors stopping in to say, are you okay? And you may have people in your life or neighbors who live alone, who are already isolated to some extent and maybe physically compromised by their age and just being less immune to the disease, that kind of thing. And so is there a way that you can check in on them? You also might just call people, FaceTime with people, send cards, and just ask them, are you comfortable with me coming to visit you? Or just having a conversation with them, offering prayer. And we have phone numbers, so if, you know, we have our CCB, which is, if you go on our website, you can find CCB and find out people's information and reach out to them, people within the church. So those are just a few off the top of my head. What about you guys?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I guess my point was kind of about turning inward, you know, like, and working on like connecting with the Lord personally. Mm-hmm. But I love that point about like, also don't like also turn outward,
yeah.
you know, towards people who you're just relationally connected with. Also turn outward, like don't just hole up away from your life group or from your friends. Like just be, as Christians, be proactive in checking in on people. Get like a text stream going with your life group, mm-hmm. and find out how you can be praying for each other. Like, you know, just there are so many ways that you can resist the isolation and loneliness that comes with this season.
Sure.
By turning outward and really focusing on people in your life that may be in some kind of need, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not meeting in big groups, but I don't envision that we're just going to literally not see people. Like, mm-hmm. I know, for example, I have a life group that meets on Friday mornings. We're going to keep meeting. Mm-hmm. And if someone's sick, obviously don't come. But we're going to keep meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to just literally shut ourselves off from mm-hmm. the world. So mm-hmm. I think that's very important. Very important to be thinking about people who because of their life situation, they are more concerned about getting out and getting sick because of the complications that could occur. And so we need to especially check in on those people, mm-hmm. and make sure they have what they need and that they don't just feel alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christians, I mean, have gotten a reputation throughout the 2000 years, you know, for stepping up in times like this, mm-hmm. and being yeah. salt and light in a world. So of course, like, care for yourself, you know, be responsible with your own health and stuff. But Christians have always been salt and light, even you could say particularly even in right. times like this where there's kind of cultural shaking, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is the potential good that God is doing here? We've talked about a couple things, and I want to end with this. You know, I think good that God can work in this is that he uses these kind of events to remind us that we're not in control.
Yeah.
And we're not God. And these events have a way of humbling us like nothing else really can. You know, the Bible tells us that this really is the universal human problem. We don't want God to be God. We want to be our own gods. We want to run our own lives. We want to feel like we're the masters of our own destinies. And we're in control. And especially in wealthy cultures like ours, we use our money to perpetuate that idea because it gives us a sense of power and control. We feel like we really are able to kind of chart our own course, and nothing can really get in our way, so to speak. But then comes a tornado or a hurricane or a pandemic, and we're humbled and we're forced to acknowledge, oh, we really aren't in control.
Yeah.
We really aren't able to just chart our own course the way we want and be the masters of our own destiny, so to speak. You know, C.S. Lewis, he wrote in the book called The Problem of Pain. He said, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And so God uses events like this, I think, to humble us. And that's good because God tells us that he is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so when we are humbled, and I think this is a good prayer for us, is that in this moment that people would be humbled and that they would turn to God. Because when we're humbled and we turn to him, then he is there graciously ready to receive us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's another good that God is doing here.
Yeah, like, you know, we're in the season of Lent, and that starts with Ash Wednesday, which is, we hear those words, Remember that you are dust, and to dust you will return. That is a day about being humbled. Mm-hmm. And that is always such a meaningful service for so many people. But then it's easy to snap right back into like your sense of control, that, you know, that you're not humbled. And so I guess I'm sure that Lent 2020 will, like, I'll remember this one, you know, partially for that reason, that this was a season that was really marked, not just on Ash Wednesday for me personally, but culturally, by a sense of, man, we are really not in control of this deal, and let's seek a God who is, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I keep thinking about that scripture, our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. Because, you know, even when the shelves are stocked, even when people are healthy, even when there's not a pandemic, that things are not necessarily good. There's still trouble. There's still trouble in the world. There's still death. There's still pain, because that isn't the good news. The good news is that this is not the end of the story. And even the fact that we can't worship together in body, you talked about this earlier, gives us that longing to be together. I mean, I can't wait to worship with you guys soon, hopefully very soon. I just think the worship is going to be that much sweeter. So it gives us a longing for God. It reminds us that we're not in control, but I do think it gives us that much more of a dependence on Him. So it's good.
So we've talked about what is the trouble and what should we do. So let's go to our final question, which is, what is the good news? What is the good news? The good news, I think Jesus tells us. The good news is that He has overcome the world. You know, you're going to have trouble, but I have overcome the world. And Paul tells us, you know, that as Christians, we are in Christ. And so if He has overcome the world, then so have we.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so no matter what happens, ultimately, all will be well. Everything is going to turn out well for us. As I don't know which Narnia story this is. I don't remember. But when C.S. Lewis writes that all the bad things will become untrue.
Mm-hmm. Someone out
last
there
battle.
Knows.
Someone
out there knows.
Anyway,
I don't know. I'm not a Narnia expert.
You know, that's ultimately what is going to be true, is that Jesus has overcome the world. He's going to save us, and He's going to make all things new. And so that's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I add a couple things? Yeah. You know, we already talked about how Jesus went through great trouble and difficulty. And I just think even that in it of itself is good news, meaning that when we're in times like this and things are really kind of frightening in some ways and unsteady, like, we have a God who walked a really difficult road. He went through it. And that means that, like, if you are especially feeling anxious and fearful, that your God, the God of the universe, like, knows that and sees you and has experienced great pain and difficulty. And that in and of itself, even, you know, of course, the bigger news is that He's overcome it. But even it's a comforting word just to know that He has walked through it with you. The passage that Amanda read from before the confession, Hebrews 14,
four,
15 or something, says, you know, we have a great priest, great high priest, Jesus Christ, who is not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. You know, He knows great trouble and trial. And so that in and of itself is just, like, really good news.
Yeah.
Second thing, you know, as you were talking about how we're not in control, I was thinking about, like, well, the good news is that God is, you know, that God really does have control over this situation. As, yeah, and that may not, we may not understand that right now, but we believe that He is. You know, I think of, it seems like something Bishop Todd would say, right? The idea that, like, God isn't up in heaven wringing His hands about coronavirus, you know, and feeling like, oh no, what should I do about this thing? You know, He knows what's going on, and He sees it. And And he's working. And again, that doesn't put us completely at peace because we don't understand it, but we can trust and rely that he has his hand on us and on this world. And he's working things for good, as you said, Patrick. So those are two other things. Yeah.
That's good.
Well, why don't I just kind of close us in prayer, and then Amanda, you can kind of lead us in our final prayers.
Sure.
And we'll wrap this up.
Okay? Great.
Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are in control, that you are sovereign, and you are working everything out for our good and your glory. And ultimately, you are going to make all things new. Lord, we do pray for our nation and for the whole world, Lord, that you would give people a sense of peace in the midst of this anxiety. And we do pray, Lord, we boldly pray that in this time of trouble, that people would turn to you. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be at work in people's hearts and minds and drawing them to the Lord Jesus, that they would be able, that you would blow your wind through their lives and their eyes would be opened, that they would see Jesus, they would turn to him. Lord, we know that your name is a strong tower, and everyone who runs to it will be safe, will be saved. And so, Lord, we do pray for that good to come out of this. And we pray, Lord, especially for those who are the most vulnerable to really challenging complications as a result of this sickness, Lord, we do pray for them, that you would protect them and watch over them and keep them healthy and safe, and just remind them and all of us, Lord, that you are with us and that you love us and you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we love you and we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I would love to just lead us all in a time of prayer. What I'm going to do is pray for specific things, and then I'll allow some space so that you at home can allow the Lord to bring certain people and certain situations to mind that relate to the prayer that I pray. And then I'll conclude, and then we can all conclude together by saying the Lord's Prayer. So let's just keep in mind James chapter 4. It says, draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to you. And so let's draw near to the Lord now as we pray. Lord, we are all to some extent compromised, but we are all certainly powerless. But Lord, we just thank you that you are powerful. You're all powerful. And Lord, we lift up specifically those among us who are vulnerable, those with compromised immune systems. And we just pray Psalm 91 over those people. You will give them charge, your angels charge over them. And so, Lord, we ask that you would protect them, that you would guard them. We pray also, Lord, for those who are caring for them. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them and keep them healthy. Lord, we also lift up all medical personnel, all first responders. Give them rest, as we know many of them are tired, exhausted. Give them strength, give them stamina, give them relief. Lord, give them wisdom and knowledge too, to know exactly how to respond to this virus. And we also pray that you would protect them from burnout. Lord, we lift up churches, the many churches that are closed right now. Lord, we lift up congregations. We lift up all ministers, all leaders. We lift up Todd, our bishop, especially Patrick, Dean, the staff here. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to have your wisdom. We pray that whether we are meeting together or not, that we would remain faithful. Lord, help us to worship in spirit and truth no matter where we are. We just pray that the enemy will not win, that being apart will not compromise our faithfulness, our love for you, and our worship of you, Lord. I pray that somehow you would even use it to draw us closer together. And Lord, I also think about people struggling with anxiety. people that I interacted with yesterday at Target who just seem so on edge and so afraid. And Lord, we all know people who are struggling. We are among those people, some of us in our congregation. And so Lord, I just lift up those struggling with anxiety. And I pray that you would remind us to rejoice always. Lord, remove fear. Help us to be gentle in spirit and just extend peace to others that they might also experience your peace. Lord, finally, I pray that you would, in Jesus' name, send COVID-19 to the nether regions, never to return. We pray that the spread would cease, that the virus would be canceled, eradicated, and that all people suffering from the virus would be healed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so now, Lord, we just pray that you would be present. Protect us through this time. We pray that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this life may rest in your eternal changelessness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so now, would you all say together with me this prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I have one other thought. Can I share it before you close?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I was just remembering as we were praying, I was remembering how, Patrick, you used to tell me that you, when your girls were little, you would drive by the church, you know, and they would say, "Dad, look, there's church. Do you remember this?" And you would tell them, "No, that's not church." And they would be like, "What?" And you would say, no. That's the church building. The church is the people."
Right.
And I was just thinking about that. And, you know, I want to be careful in saying, like, it's not, church isn't canceled.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, our public gatherings are suspended, but church isn't canceled. Meaning the people of God are still living the mission of God in this world. And they are, they're building his kingdom and participating in his life. And that is going to continue whether we have Sunday services or not, or whether you can go to the meeting that you had scheduled or not. Church isn't canceled. God's people are still living his kingdom life here. So just want to add that.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for watching this. And of course, we will be communicating with you more about what's going to be happening in the days to come. We're going to gather as a staff tomorrow, and then the parish council also meets tomorrow night. And so there'll be more communication coming from us very soon. God bless you and have a great day. And I want to leave you with these words as we generally use and when we close our services. The first part comes from Philippians chapter 4. It's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Guard your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
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 Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.